You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
The Around the NFL Podcast won't be attending their Hall of Fame ceremony.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast presented by New Era. My name is Dan Hanzus, joined in a room filled with some heroes, Mark Sessler and Chris Wessling, the Kissing Cousins. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see yourself achieving anything approaching Hall of Fame level recognition at the end of your career? Either of you? I don't.
I think we're having a decent podcast career, but I don't know if they've opened up a hall for podcast bros. That's our only shot.
I think the trajectory right now says is a hard no.
Sports Writing Hall of Fame, not going to happen.
Not happening at all. We can't even get into the Pro Football Writers of America. We're not going to that.
Although you're the only one that was really knocking on the door there.
I'm agitated.
Nobody
still
answered the door for you there. But probably not. Wes is silent because Wes probably thinks he's getting to several Hall of Fames.
Huckapoo's Hall of Fame.
Cornhole?
No, just the Huckapoo's Hall of Fame. That's it.
I think you're already there.
I feel like I have some philosophical issues with Halls of Fame anyway, so don't need to be invited.
Mostly because Eli Manning is going into one prominent Hall of Fame.
We'll see about
in
that.
About 7 years. This is the Thursday edition of the Around the NFL Podcast, presented by New Era, and because New Era is with us, this was a video show. How exciting. It's our first video show in some time, so you can catch this streaming on NFL.com. When, Lindsay? When? How can people get the show on video?
That's going to air at 9 a.m. tomorrow, which is Friday.
There you go. So if you want to see us jabronis in action, do that. And if you don't, here's the audio show. And we got a lot to get to today. A lot of news, LeSean McCoy updates. It's not a good time for the Bills or Shady McCoy fans, so we'll track what's going on with his situation. Also, it is time now as we're deep now into NFL summer vacation. So training camp right around the bend. Let's do a little AFC and NFC hierarchy report, just where everybody stands.
About that time.
Wes, you handled the NFC. And Mark, you handled the AFC, and then I'm just going to be like, "Hey, are these bros doing?"
I mean,
a good
we
job?
Put a lot of work into this. How was it? 8 or 9 minutes of preparation each as we compiled these lists.
We reached dramatically different conclusions too.
That's how you get into the hall, boys. That type of work ethic. So we're excited, and as we turn to the news, we're going to have a special guest with us. In fact, can we invite him in right now? Yes, he is. Of course you know who he is if you're a fan of NFL media products. He is Alex Gelhar of the Fantasy Team, NFL Fantasy Live podcast. The Stronghold. He announced with great fanfare on Twitter that he was leaving not just NFL media, but the entire industry to become a freedom fighter. That's what I call him. he's going to be a lawyer, but a good lawyer, not the bad lawyer. So this is his last day here?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's your last day.
Yes.
But we said, let's get Alex in here, sit in on the news as a goodbye.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Wonderful show to join you with so many hats on the table.
A lot of hats. A lot of hats. And Mark, already on your radar that the producers behind the glass, although they do yeoman's work, incredible work, one hat missing.
There is, and New Era like provided all 32 hats, so it's squarely on the shoulders of someone behind the glass who thought, we'll put 31 teams here, save for the Cleveland Browns. I find that to be an absolute slap in the face.
All you have to do to earn a hat in this room is to have two wins over a two-year period.
Or one in 1 year.
It's a pretty low bar, Mark.
It is a low bar, but I still feel at this point that it's just another notch in the belt of the insults that constantly rain down on me on this show.
Well, think about look at it this way as well. I asked, where's the Jets hat? And I was told, oh, it's front and center. And then I was pointed to a large television screen, basically on the roof of the studio. Technically, I guess front and center, but we got a ways to go.
Nice hats, though.
Technically center, but not front.
Not front. Right. Not at all.
Exactly.
Not at all front.
So, Alex, happy to have you here.
Thank you.
And,
it's an honor.
Excited for the next step in your life. But for now, why don't we do some news?
Let's.
Oh my, I feel a little guilty about this. That was England fans. Literally the day after we named them the World Cup team of ATL. They go down in flames. Gelhar, you're a big football fan.
This is true.
This was a team that's well known for heartbreak, England. The Three Lions, I believe?
Yes.
The trio of Lions?
As they're known.
Okay.
Three Lions, yeah.
This was an especially heartbreaking loss because they had no business losing. Is that fair to say?
Not that they had no business losing. The Croatia team was very good, and it was kind of their golden generation, as some of these teams have been referred to in the tournament, was still there but aging. Many people just expected, though, from the gauntlet that Croatia had gone through back-to-back 120-minute games in the span of, like, 7 days. That's grueling. On the body, so they thought England was coming in sharp, they were coming in fresher, and that they should walk out victorious, but they did not. And it's probably fitting, though, that you guys would bestow them with the Team of ATL honor.
I mean, to a man, people on Twitter were said, why did you just do that? It's a total ominous curse. I had a question. Is this the best World Cup? I'm not. You weren't around years and years ago, but that you've ever seen. Is this the best one during your lifetime?
Yeah, I was actually just talking about this with Alex Wilk at lunch today, because we were just talking about how so many of the games themselves have been great, and the collective whole of the World Cup with the intrigue and stories and players has just been so entertaining to watch. I mean, you go back to the group stage, there's been a lot of different upsets and a lot of cool storylines. Like Panama, they got beat around on the field routinely, but they scored their first ever World Cup goal, and that was a national celebration. They lost 6-1 in that game, but it was very cool.
How about we get America in the cup? Then it will be
next
really
time they're in. They could be the worst team on the planet, and they're in next time, right?
In two World Cups.
Oh, two.
You're an automatic entry when you host.
Oh,
I do like right after, because we inserted ourselves into this England mess by naming them the team of ATL in the World Cup. As soon as the game ended, I didn't even understand. It was like a different language. It was a bunch of hooligans in England yelling at each other, and people from other countries making fun of England. And I had to tap out of my Twitter feed for a while. And the other thing I'll add is I knew immediately, I'm no soccer fan, but I am a sports fan, and a general feeling of when something bad is going to happen, I can sometimes pick up on it. Once that whole meme thing took off about bringing it home, it's coming home. It's like, no, this is definitely going to blow up in your.
You were not a fan from the word go on that. So.
Well, I take exception here with the idea that we are somehow to blame for this when they were up 1-0 and controlling the game and just peed on their legs for the final. What,
they did
20, 30
minutes.
It was our fault, Wes.
No,
the curse of ATL.
Show up and play better in the second half.
All right, so there you go, little World Cup chatter. Fun stuff. Now some football, and we'll start, obviously, with the heavy news surrounding Buffalo Bills running back LeSean McCoy, and here's the latest on him. McCoy's former girlfriend told police she believed the Bills running back possibly, quote, set her up when she was violently assaulted during alleged home invasion robbery at her residence in suburban Atlanta early Tuesday morning. An incident report released by the Milton Police Department states, quote, the caller possibly thinks her boyfriend possibly set her up. Delisha Corden, McCoy's former girlfriend, is not named specifically by police as the caller, but other events in the report, the caller says, happened to her correspond with what Corden's attorney said occurred during the incident. So Milton police on Wednesday released a redacted version of their report of Tuesday's incident at the home. Armed robbery, aggravated assault with a firearm, residential burglary without force, aggravated battery. Police have not named any suspect. Mike Garofolo, our own Mike Garofolo, reported that McCoy returned to training for football this morning, practicing with Frank Gore and other running backs in South Florida. And here's the question, Wes. A lot of questions, a lot of unanswered questions. And again, McCoy vehemently has denied all these allegations against them, and there's no charges filed or even a suspect with the police. So there's a lot wide open right now. But that doesn't necessarily clear him at all in terms of whether or not he's playing football, because that's not how the NFL levies justice. Where are we at with McCoy? Are we going to see him on the field?
Well, I think the situation is serious enough that you automatically turn to the commissioner's exempt list, which was basically created so they could take someone off the field while an investigation is ongoing. And from what we've heard so far, you figure the investigation is going to be, you know, still active throughout the season.
Yeah, it's something we'll be tracking very closely. And you look at the Bills, Gelhar, like, I mean, if McCoy's not involved, we already know they have all sorts of issues, their offensive line, a lot of turnover. You have A.J. McCarron, who's unproven, and then the rookie, who's probably going to see a lot of time. If you take McCoy out of the mix, he's like the one guy that they could point to, like, carry the load for this team. The Bills could be in a lot of trouble without McCoy.
Yeah, I mean, last year alone, LeSean McCoy wasn't his finest year on the football field, but he accounted for almost 33% of the total offense of the Bills. That's a huge, huge piece to lose. They went and signed Chris Ivory in the offseason, but we haven't seen him be able to be a true workhorse in any sense. And as you mentioned, their wide receiving core as well, they've lost a lot of players. They lost Deontay Thompson. They got rid of Jordan Matthews. It's basically just Kelvin Benjamin and Zay Jones, if he's even back in time, because he had offseason.
If you're a rookie quarterback, you could not paint a more troubling lineup to enter against actual NFL defenses. So a lot to be
seen. I talked to sad Bills fan Patrick Crawley downstairs and said, why would you want your rookie first-round pick even playing on this team, because it just feels like it's a recipe to take a beating and also potentially regress. So
Patrick Crawley, not totally sad, just was married and returned from a honeymoon. Everyone in our office is getting married except for Gelhard this week and this month.
Yeah, so I'm coming under fire for that.
Maybe that's why you're leaving.
Side note, the exact kind of situation we would expect a team to take a chance on Adrian Peterson.
Right.
Because he would have to come in as a workhorse, which fits him, not as a complimentary player. So maybe that would be an option.
DeMarco Murray?
Yeah.
Yep, both.
And since you brought it up, Gelhar moving back to his home state of Wisconsin,
yes,
to attend law school as he seeks a life as a legal counsel.
Yes.
You know, maybe that's part of the reason. Maybe the LA ladies, maybe not Gelhar's speed. He wants to find a girl just like Ma.
That's really not part of the reasoning, but feel free. That's good for you to throw that out, conjecture out during the news here.
All right, good.
Permission to nickname Alex Esquire. Ooh. Or Esk.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
Okay.
I like that. You could raise an objection at any time.
I'm going to let it go for right now.
Overruled. You didn't even object. Anyway, more bad news, more legal stuff. This is why Alex is on today's show. Former NFL cornerback Brandon Brown are charged with attempted murder. My goodness. And three other felonies Tuesday after he allegedly assaulted a woman during a home break-in in California on Sunday. The L.A. County District Attorney's Office also charged Browner with two misdemeanors in its court filing. He's scheduled to be arraigned in Pomona Superior Court on Tuesday. He's 33 years old. We were just talking about on Monday or Tuesday's show how quickly things changed in Seattle over a relatively short period of time. So not only is there that team going to look a lot different in the secondary, Browner, like, life comes at you fast, Mark said.
Well, and also, it's just you feel like how quickly things change post-career for some of these guys. And we don't know what's going on with Brandon Browner, but there's always another – there's victims in this, and there's that other side. And I just feel like Brandon Browner was someone that we were writing about as a football player a couple years ago, and the meltdown is pretty staggering.
I mean, he won a Super Bowl in 2014 with the Patriots. That's just a few years ago.
Not about
to go
that.
From there to all of these troubles is quite the precipitous fall as soon as his playing days were, you know, close to or right behind him.
Moving on, Terrell Owens, who made the, to many people, curious decision to opt out of being celebrated at the Hall of Fame in Canton this summer. He was elected, but announced that he would not attend the ceremonies, which is pretty unheard of and a unique situation, and instead will hold his own Hall of Fame ceremony at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, his alma mater. The Hall of Fame, obviously, a little butthurt. Let's just keep it real. They didn't like that. They felt it to be disrespectful, and they've decided they are not even going to acknowledge T.O. during its ceremony, instead concentrating on the other inductees that are participating in the event, Bobby Beathard, Brian Dawkins, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss, among that group. So the NFL Hall of Fame, obviously not very happy with Terrell Owens.
This disappoints me. You expect an austere entity that calls itself the Hall of Fame to be above sort of childish tit for tat? We know who Terrell Owens is. He's acting the same way he's always acted, the same guy who Bill Parcells reached the conclusion this guy's a narcissist, so I'm going to start calling him the player instead of using his name. He's the same guy he always was. The Hall of Fame should be above stuff like this. Terrell Owens earned this. He should get the credit.
Having been to the Hall of Fame, compared to so much other stuff that happens in the NFL, on the field and off, it is a event that is purely joyful, and it's really kind of for the football fan. And I don't understand how I get that you're not going to have a blowout ceremony for T.O. when he's not there, but to ignore his accomplishments and his presence altogether is a weird event and a weird tone decision for an event that is actually so much fun and it's really all positive. It does seem petty to me.
Hall of Fame Executive Director Joe Horrigan said that the focus will be on the guys who are here, and also said there's no reason to bring him up as an individual. He's not here. That enshrinement, of course, will be on August 4th.
There is a reason, because he earned it over his career. That's the reason to bring him up. I take exception with Joe Horrigan.
Also, I feel like the battle should be between Terrell Owens and the Hall of Fame Selection Committee, which everybody knows is a wildly imperfect process for selecting who actually gets enshrined in Canton.
Right.
Like, Canton shouldn't take exception to Terrell Owens not wanting to be there. His beef is more with the people that unjustly kept him out of the Hall of Fame.
He could use a lawyer, a representative, someone to get kind of in his... Yeah. This is the kind of case you'd want to take on, I think.
Yeah, sustained.
Yes, exactly.
Sustained, Alex.
Yes.
Very well done. I'm using all of my lawyer knowledge and just trying to impress Alex.
You're doing a great job so
Thank
far.
You very much. Man, Pac-Man Jones, a man that has really... Did I mention, by the way, August 4th? I know there's some shadowy league figures back there. August 4th, the Hall of Fame enshrinement, only on NFL Network.
Well played.
It's a great event.
It's good.
On television.
Anyway, Pac-Man Jones, no stranger to trouble. He found some at an airport in Atlanta. Mark, we've been at the Atlanta airport, and I don't remember anything like this ever happening before. But anyway, Atlanta police spokesman Jarius Daugherty says Pac-Man was confronted by ABM Industries employee. That sounds like a made-up company of, like, evil...
Vandalay Industries.
Yeah, some type of evil corporate shadowy entity. Anyway, ABM Industries employee Frank Reagan, after Reagan made a gesture toward the football player, and that led to words being exchanged, and then Reagan, and this is all, I think, on TMZ, the video, Reagan struck Pac-Man with a closed fist, cut Jones's face, and then Pac-Man, he squares up, comes after Reagan, knocks him down. It looks like Pac-Man got the better of the brawl. It did remind me, even though Pac-Man is a professional athlete and Reagan was, or however you pronounce his name, a guy in good shape, and they're just flailing at each other, and it just reminds me how awkward and really unimpressive most fist fights usually are.
And the unedited, you know, fight itself lasted about a minute and 40 seconds, and it's mostly like, who's got the longer reach here? Who's going to
connect? Reagan had the reach.
He had the reach, and there was a female trying to keep Pac-Man out of the entire thing. Because you always hear about these bar fights these players get into, and it's like, why are players always getting into fights? And you find out, what, this is a guy hired to work at the airport, goading Pac-Man on.
Well, I'd like to see the part where the video doesn't show at the beginning. Like,
sure.
What words were exchanged before we get to that video?
I'm not ready to completely exonerate Pac-Man.
I'm not either, because the history. No, he only has about 180 incidents like this. But
well, I've heard from numerous friends and family members in Cincinnati that know about things that go on after dark. Mm-hmm. Pac-Man, the number of fistfights that have been reported in the news is not the number of fistfights that he has been involved in.
Wes, you've been known to be involved in fistfights outside Huckapoo's in your younger
years. I was bouncing.
I'm just a show of hands. How many people have been in a legit fistfight here? The old Zeuser stays above that fray.
That's nice. Yeah. You should be proud of it.
Well, it's, sometimes did you start it or was it?
I got into a brawl with Mo Bader in fifth grade.
Shout out to Mo Bader.
Fifth graders have brawls?
Yeah, we were tussling on a football field. There was some rolling around, but there wasn't straight up fisticuffs. And then my buddy Bob, I would say this is in eighth grade, he had a fist fight with Dave Reyna over a girl, and I served as Bob's like manager, like Bobby Heenan style. But I did not get involved with the fight itself.
Well, I'd like the manager. You'd be good as a sort of manager that whips up trouble. Probably got Bob into the fight, if I know you at all.
I think I had a role in the actual genesis.
Stinky Davis?
When we were in fourth grade, like a collection of eight or nine fourth graders, I was one of them. They put a new playground up, one of those, like, it was like a big deal. It was like a wooden playground with tires when that was like a new thing. And these third graders were all over it.
Oh, aggression is high when a new playground.
Oh, yeah. So we went, Donnybrook? We took them out and we were suspended for, like, we missed a holiday party. I got into a bar brawl over a girl once. I was
vaguely sexy, by the way.
It didn't go well. Like, then there was I was on the Boulder Mall in Boulder, Colorado, like 1 a.m. after a copy editing shift at the Daily Camera, and was waiting for my friend Kiwi to come down and pick me up because I didn't have a car. And this guy came racing out of the darkness with his friend chasing him, like from blocks away, and there's no one else around. I can see him burning towards me, and I'm on a bench just sitting there, and his friend's like, get away, get away. I was like, what? And his friend, the crazy guy, came up and just socked me in the eye socket, and I went down, and then his friend took him down. My friend showed up and just pulled me away to a dive bar and tried to recover.
What was going on there?
I think his friend was...
It was like a seek and destroy mission for anybody on a bench.
I think whoever had been sitting on that bench would have taken that hit.
Wow.
So, but he really hates that bench.
It was me he was after, not the bench. So.
One thing we I'd be remiss if we didn't report about this airport brawl was Pac-Man Jones dropped his bag of Popeyes, which Twitter detectives were all over because, I mean, one, delicious, and two, like, you're wasting airport food like that. That's not cheap.
It's not cheap, and you need it for the long flight ahead. Moving on, Jeff Fisher. Hey, this is the last time we heard from Jeff Fisher with in a mic'd up capacity.
Unfortunately, I won't be there this weekend. I was just fired.
Oh, all right. So Jeff Fisher, that was on Hard Knocks, of course, after he was let go. Well, this report from the New York Post that Jeff Fisher is scheduled to call the September 30th game between the Jaguars and Jets in Jacksonville. He will share the booth with play-by-play announcer and NFL Network star Dan Helly. Marchand of the Post reports that Fisher is not scheduled to call any more games at this point, although there could be more opportunities. So Fisher, who's kind of had a low profile, I think he was even hanging out in Montana for a while. There was some like low-grade photo of him at a supermarket in Montana at some point, like maybe a year ago.
What, like Bigfoot-style photo?
Kind of, yeah.
Rainy, walking between the aisles.
He looked kind of grisly. He's resurfacing, Wes. I know you're excited.
Well, I think it's easy, because Jeff Fisher is a punchline at this point, to say that he'll be terrible, but you have no idea. It's a totally different skill set and reminds me a bit of Matt Millen, who was an awful GM, but that has nothing to do with calling football games, and you can use your experience as a bad GM to make you a better announcer, or a bad head coach to make you a better announcer.
I think he is, can you communicate? Like, Tony Romo put everyone to shame last year because he came in there fresh off the field and was able to communicate what he was seeing in a way that tons of former players and coaches who sit up there are not able to do. It's a totally different situation.
Speaking of Tony Romo, he was on our airwaves He's at some golf tournament. That's what Tony Romo does.
Airwaves.
I basically assume.
Why are you angry about it?
I just assume. I'm not even mad about it, but I just assume at any time when Tony Romo's not in a broadcast booth or sleeping, he's at a golf course.
Okay.
And you're not wrong.
Maybe if you hear a little tension in my voice, I'm not even a big golf guy, but I'm a little jealous. Seems like a pretty good way to live your life.
Okay.
And he's a millionaire and better looking than me, and everything seems to be going Tony Romo's way in retirement.
Well, wait, you were very pro Tony Romo last season. Something's got under your skin here.
I don't really – the hero worship for Romo is a little bit on my radar heading into 2018. That's all.
What – I mean, do you disagree with the notion that he really already is – giving us something we've never gotten from a football
announcer. I think he's excellent. I love it. I was in on the ground floor with Tony Romo, but the man is not Jesus Christ. That's all I'm saying.
In general, when anyone's getting too much praise, even if they
deserve... He's not Jesus Christ with a seven iron, Mark.
Okay. You just don't like praise.
I'm not suggesting he is.
You like praise to be limited to a few people, not everyone.
Everyone jumping on the Romo bandwagon is what I'm talking about. Everyone now pretends like they always saw Tony Romo as a talent that could thrive. I feel like
you just want him with like a chink in the armor. You want him to have some sort of gaff on air that bring him back into
maybe
you know,
to get some people
eyes.
To jump off the train.
Okay.
Anyway,
people are more interesting when they have flaws.
This went somewhere absolutely. I did not expect. It
on our airwaves, Tony Romo with the great friend of the Around the NFL podcast, Lindsay Rhodes, had this prediction about the Super Bowl in Atlanta this year.
It's pretty early. The thing about the NFL is things change pretty fast. Injuries happen. A lot of stuff happens, but if I was picking right now, I'd probably go with Green Bay versus Jacksonville. I think that would be just a tentative, rough guess here in the summer months.
Fair enough. Which led then, of course, what else are you going to do? NFL.com has a prominent former quarterback and media star make a prediction. It splashed across the front of NFL.com, and with the image of Aaron Rodgers, and then Blake Bortles. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Is this really going to happen? Come on.
They should have done it with Aaron Rodgers and Jalen Ramsey because that would be the better storyline.
Right?
Aaron Rodgers going head-to-head.
I love our programming
defense.
Department. They do amazing Clearly. Work. And really everyone at this company.
I'm on my way out. I can, you know, fight from the hip a little bit if I want to here.
But just the idea of Blake Bortles playing in the Super Bowl, let's just say the Zeusers not buying it.
I mean, it was five minutes away from happening last year.
I know. But
a great Stephon Gilmore tipped pass away from possibly having him in
the Super Bowl. Well, how about not buying the Packers? I understand it's the most logical thing on the planet, but it's like every summer, 88% of football analysts pick the Packers to go to the Super Bowl. Hasn't happened in almost a decade.
Delhar, a diehard born and bred Packers fan.
This is true.
Do you have the same confidence as many people in the football cognoscenti?
I mean, if Aaron Rodgers plays for 16 games or close to it, we've seen they're going to at least be in the mix. And a lot of times with the NFL, it just matters is getting to the postseason.
Oh, I wrote a piece saying that they will go to the playoffs, so that's happening. You're okay, fine.
Yeah, but you wrote that about every teacher.
Everyone's going to the playoffs.
No, he wrote it about 16. Rank wrote the other 16.
Where are we at with that series? Is the Patriots piece?
We are creeping towards the final chapter. I will be filing the Patriots piece shortly.
Lindsay, can you make a note that when the Patriots piece is filed, we're going to do a whole segment on it?
Yep. I'm on it.
The only other thing I was going to add is maybe why there is more confidence this year is because Teflon Dom Capers is no longer there.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know, the grass is always greener, but the early reports are a lot of the players are really into Mike Pettine, his philosophy, his scheme's a little easier to understand. They've had an influx of young talent that a lot of people were really high on. They've got the Muhammad Wilkerson reclamation project as well. So perhaps Aaron Rodgers
doesn't get
bounced.
I like me some Mike Pettine. I think he's good.
He doesn't get bounced in the playoffs when his defense gives up 40-some points, as we've seen.
Did you catch that trope alert in there?
What?
His defense is easier to understand.
Yes.
What does that even mean?
I do feel like it is a sight we don't need to see again. Late January, Packers melting on a late Sunday playoff game, and Dom Capers up in the booth, the hair just staring down at a defense completely dissolving. That will never happen.
That image haunts my dreams many nights.
Pettine's sort of a bit of a steelier guy. I think we had our Who Can Beat Up Who coach rankings? He was high up there.
Yeah, that was Pettine's number one claim to fame as an NFL head coach is that he could kick the ass of most other NFL coaches. Not much else going on.
Pac-Man would take him.
Probably. All right, that's what's happening in the news. Alex Gelhar, we've worked with you for what, 4 years? Five years?
This November would be my sixth year.
Unbelievable.
In the NFL,
probably spent as much time with you and your dad, Scott, at the Super Bowl as any two people in the past 5 years.
Your dad, Scott,
I think he's more popular than I am at the NFL, to be completely honest.
A firefighter. So, Alex, we've loved working with you. You're like one of the nicest guys in the building. And I'm sure this change.
Yes, well, thank you, guys.
It will be something that suits you well.
Hopefully.
We're excited for you.
Some lawyers, they have aspirations of going and making a great difference, and they become sort of a...
Monsters.
Yeah.
Kind of,
you know, evil.
Corporate suits. Yeah.
Darth Vader-ish. So just please be careful.
I will try to keep that idealism close to my heart.
Stay away from the darkness.
There is a chance we'll need your services.
Yeah, please. Feel free to call me, as you mentioned.
Yes.
Whether it's for insight on the show or personal issues.
Counsel.
The arc of Dan's career tells me that you will be making money off of Dan for a variety of incidents down the road.
That is probably right. So let's stay in touch, Alex.
Absolutely.
Alex Gelhar. We'll see him at the garage. We're going to have a couple
by
belts
later.
Yeah.
With him for
a couple belts.
Going away soiree. All right. Now, it is time, now that we have gotten to the point of the summer, gentlemen, where everyone's about to come report. We're not there yet. Everybody's still having fun on their hovercrafts. Their jet skis and their nightclubs, even though Wes doesn't understand why young men in their 20s that have a lot of disposable income and are very desirable to members of the opposite sex, why they would want to be in nightclubs.
Why on earth?
A lot of people are doing that during this time off.
I was shaking my head more at the jet skis than the nightclubs.
But that will soon be over and everyone will get to camp. So now as we kind of head toward, we really start to spin toward 2018, it is time to check in on both conferences, the AFC and the NFC, a hierarchy report where teams stack up, where we see them as we look toward a new season. And Mark, we're going to start with the AFC. And the way we did this was, Mark, as I mentioned at the top of the show, Mark, you will be offering up a breakdown of the American Football Conference. You're going to say who's got a shot, who's got no shot.
Inaccurate.
And then Wes will chime in with the NFC version. So why don't you get us going, Mr. Cecil?
And we shielded these lists from you so that you could offer debate if you must.
Right. And obviously, Wes can also debate what you say as well.
Wes is going to agree largely, I'm hoping.
That's why you're the kissing cousin.
All right. So let's just do this right away. Tier number one, the big heavies is what I call tier number one.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay. And the big heavies are two teams that I think have owned the AFC for a long time. Obviously, one has the edge over the other, but that's the Patriots and the Steelers. So right away, at odds with Tony Romo and his Jaguars, but
interesting.
We'll see them soon enough.
So the big heavy, there you go. Ben obviously is having a laugh at somebody's expense. Here's right off the bat, I'm going to say, Wes, I don't know if you come down or if you're in the same garage here. In past years of an exercise like this, we would have the Patriots in their own tier, but you have now put them as essentially co-favorites in their conference. Do you basically have a feeling that the Pats are starting to creep back to the pack?
I had them listed above the Steelers, as they should be, but I think there is just a little bit of a variable with Tom Brady's age. Not that I doubt him.
Gradual decline, is that what you're
saying? I'm just saying, what, to the 2009 Brett Favre was marvelous. The 2010 Brett Favre was a disaster. Like, it never is pretty when it ends. The final year of Peyton Manning, although they won a Super Bowl, he was an abject disaster in games and was benched for Brock Osweiler. So I don't see it happening for Tom Brady necessarily that way, but possible.
Last year at this time, the Patriots, we were all convinced, had the strongest roster in the league. We were talking about them going undefeated. To me, the Steelers have a stronger roster. I'm fine with the Patriots being slightly ahead of them or whatever because they have Brady and Belichick,
right,
and that counts for a lot.
Absolutely. So it's close, but I think we're all in agreement the Pats should still be seen as the favorite. What's the next tier, Mr. Sessler?
Tier two, status quo berserkers. Like, they could blow up this top tier potentially. They're berserkers.
Kind of what the Jaguars were last year.
That's what they were last year, and they are this year again. Okay. They lead this tier two status quo berserkers category. The only other team that I put in there right now is the Chargers, because A, we don't really see them necessarily based on what they did last year as one of these top four teams, but there's a lot of reasons to believe they could be. And the AFC is a little bit watered down, and they could have, if everything goes right, they could be one of these teams that vie for the AFC championship.
Counterpoint, when's the last thing everything went right for the Chargers?
1968, maybe.
I you guys know my feeling on this. Until the Chargers stop going 9-7 or 8-8 every year, I am not going to believe it. But maybe I see what you're saying. They could be a berserker if they get, I think the most important thing, Wes, is, and their kicking situation did not allow this to happen, is to get out of the gate fast. If they start 3-0 or even, you know, 3-1, I could totally see them winning 11 or 12, but they got to get out of the gates.
I totally understand your skepticism and where it's coming from. But, of course, that same skepticism was directed at a team like the Jaguars last year.
Fair.
Once they prove they're out of the basement, then I'll believe in them. So, to me, the Chargers and Jags belong in this category. I think Mark is batting 1,000 right now. Because
right,
they do have – they do
he
have
doesn't
the,
like the overpraise, but yeah. I do.
I think they have the two strongest rosters in that conference.
Yeah, I think that if you, when I got to the rest of these teams, a lot of these teams have flaws. So, right. You know, here we go, tier three. Could be working a few more weeks into January, even if some people inside the building were planning to take a vacation, maybe to Ibiza or Turks and Caicos after week 17.
Okay, so let me try to translate that. So this is teams that they could get hot, could surprise some people, make a run into the playoffs, but maybe not to the end game. But it's going to surprise a lot of people, including people in their own building.
Well, some of these teams have to make the playoffs because there's still two more slots. And I think maybe in the building thinking, you know what, we're 7-6 right now. Book that vacation. I don't like where this team's going. And then they get hot and you have to cancel your plans.
Who's in this tier?
Have you named the teams?
I'll name the teams.
This segment is really about the names of the tiers.
It is. The teams are five teams, the Ravens, the Bengals, the Titans, the Chiefs, and the Texans.
I feel like the Ravens feel strong to me this year. The Titans feel strong. The Chiefs, you can't underestimate them because they're always there and they're talented. The Texans are a true wild card, and they are talented with the exception of the offensive line.
Right.
The Bengals are the real wild card here to me because I like them better than most people, but there's a lot of bounce back they have to do to get there.
They need some young players to become what they thought they would.
What was the name of Tier 2 again?
Tier 2 was status quo berserkers.
Okay. Status quo berserkers. And who was in that tier?
That was the Jags and Chargers. Should we start from the top?
Well, I'm just saying the Chargers status quo berserker. Okay.
I just believe that they could have a special season.
Okay, I think the Chiefs and Texans, you can make a case for both of them being in Tier 2, that they could be berserkers if things connect, whereas the other teams you have in Tier 3 really, to me, have a ceiling that does not put them potentially in the final four.
I like the Texans a lot more than – I think Greg felt like they could be good, but they also could be terrible necessarily, potentially.
Right.
If they play the way they did when they kind of got hot with Deshaun Watson, if he's all the way back, but there's like some questions there, what version of
J.J. – A running quarterback coming off an ACL injury.
Right, and what version of J.J. Watt do we get? So it's just there's stuff to fill in.
I don't know how many tiers you have. I suspect there will be many.
No, there's –
And I will say that the Chiefs and Texans, if I did this, they would be in their own tier because they're so boom or bust.
That's fair. You dish the assignment off to me, so you have your opportunity to do this
like
at home.
Doc Rivers, 1990.
Tier four. And now this is where we get a little bit out of order. I'm not trying to order them specifically. It's sort of we're getting into some strange places. Tier four, the effing rest of the AFC East. Okay, because every year, can you ever possibly topple the Patriots?
Right.
They're in their own category because the Dolphins, Bills, and Jets, I like the Dolphins much more than the other two teams right now.
I don't know.
What are you going to do to win that division for once?
Especially in light of recent events. I think the Bills could be sitting on a 2-14 bomb.
I call this tier the doormats.
It's a similar –
That's
sailor,
what you think, Buster.
The Patriots just walk all over them every year.
Which team do you like the most of these three AFC teams? How about that?
The Jets have the most upside.
Dolphins.
I think Miami.
And you could argue Miami, of course. But I think the Bills are cut below those teams. That's all.
They are. And that's
I'm not saying the Jets should be higher. I'm just saying the Bills in that group. I feel like the Bills could be one of the worst teams in the league.
Well, I put them lowest. Yeah. So here we go. Tier five. And this is simply, who are you? Because we're at this point in the summer, and I can't quite figure out what we're going to get from these AFC teams. The Raiders, the Broncos, and the Colts.
I like the name of this tier because they could be anything. John Gruden is a huge mystery after a decade away and what they've done to their roster in the offseason. The Broncos could easily be back in the playoffs if Case Keenum is who they think he is. And to me, the Colts, even though their defensive talent is maybe the worst in the league, I could see Andrew Luck, if he is who he was, leading this team back to the playoffs.
He did that before with shoddy rosters. So
the rest of the AFC East tier bit, again, I have an issue with it because all the teams in the tier below I would put ahead of the Bills and probably the other two East.
Well, that's why I said that this from here on it was not a specific ranking exercise.
Well, that's what this is.
I knew it would. Well, listen, you can again, the listener and the host of the show have the freedom to
do this.
Can
I be honest with you? Yeah, well, I think you're doing a nice job.
What if we just move the Who Are You tier up one level?
Let's go Who Are You above of the AFC.
Everything's better now.
Okay, we're good.
Everything's better.
We're back on track. Final
you,
tier. Tier
six. That was driving me crazy.
All right.
Are you OCD?
A little bit.
Tier six. I thought if I put the Jets down below, I'd be hearing it from you, so I can't win. Tier six. Prove it to me instead of getting my hopes up only to have me thinking about driving off Interstate 10 by late September.
Mm.
Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. Yep.
That's fair.
It's the fear of every Browns fan, every non-Browns fan that works on the Around the NFL podcast. That they are going to bang you again, despite all the positive vibes around the franchise right now. But I think they will be higher in this conversation next year.
I really believe it. I think this is going to be the first year I actively root for the Browns just because I want a happier Mark.
I do like the idea of Wes rooting against the Browns these past 5 years, even though Mark's...
Oh, I've been openly rooting against it. I just don't respect them.
Mark's happiness and sadness, it's completely centered on how the Browns are performing. So and on some level, you were rooting for Mark's unhappiness.
Oh, I've learned my lesson.
Well, is it Wes's fault? Is he part of the organization? I would say no.
It's a conspiracy, man. So that's the AFC
that's
hierarchy
the AFC.
Report?
Yep.
Wonderful. Wonderful stuff. Oh, you know what we have to do, by the way, before we get to the NFC?
Oh, yeah. This is good.
Training Camp Spotlight, baby. Presented, of course, by New Era. And since we brought up my Jets, you know the Jets always got to come up. They always get a little bit more pop than they deserve on this podcast.
A little bit
guess
more.
What? Who's hosting the damn podcast? It's me. So Sam Darnold, Teddy Bridgewater, and Josh McCown, the three-headed monster back there. Wes, I'm going to tee you up on this. Who's starting week one?
Josh McCown.
So you think there's no chance Darnold gets the call?
The best route to the job for Sam Darnold, I think, is Josh McCown gets injured, and he is a fragile quarterback. He's old, and he plays a reckless style in a Teddy Bridgewater trade.
Yes, I could see that happening for sure.
I feel it's like, what does he need to do to win the job if you're Sam Darnold? You kind of have to blow people's expectations away in the preseason, I think, because there's no reason to rush him into the lineup right away. He's the youngest rookie. Is he the youngest rookie?
He is. He's
of
only
all
20
time.
Years old.
So it's like
youngest rookie quarterback.
Just turned 21 last month.
Where with Baker Mayfield, the age is an issue out there where you can't put him in the shadows for two seasons. You don't need to do that with Darnold, and the Jets are not a playoff level roster, I don't think, at this point on offense. So if anything, maybe you'd find an appropriate spot in the season after a bye week or something, and then you give him a good sample size end of the year.
Yeah, I'm with you. When I did do the Good Morning Football segment, I laid out three doors that the Jets could walk through this season. One was best case that Darnold starts the season and they have a really nice year. Two is that he comes in maybe around Halloween, a little before, a little after, and has some ups and downs. And three, the wheels fall off and everything's terrible. I think number two is where they'll probably end up, and that has Darnold coming in eventually. And I believe, if you remember last summer, McCown almost played no snaps in the preseason. I think you're going to see a ton of Bridgewater showcasing him with the kid getting a lot of work as well. And then I think they will try to trade Bridgewater, but we'll see.
McCown played well last year, and he is obviously beloved in that locker room. They really look up to him.
That was Training Camp Spotlight presented by New Era. Now let's move to the NFC. Chris Wessling, I know as a scientist, even though your other scientist, Greg Rosenthal, not here on vacation, doing his thing. Is he in Japan?
I feel like we haven't seen Greg in like 4 months.
Is he in Japan?
He's in Los Angeles right now. From what I
trying to get airtime here.
There he is. Even though you're down a scientist, you know I have access to the lab.
Absolutely.
I have the optical scan that gets me downstairs.
I've maybe changed the locks at some point.
Yeah.
When did they go from skeleton key to optical scan?
That's an upgrade. Rog upgraded it.
Okay.
Shout out to Rog. Even though Greg's not here, I just want to say, as you begin this segment, as a fellow lab guy, good luck.
Why am I not allowed into this part of the house?
Check with Greg.
Yeah, don't...
I voted to put you in.
That's above my...
Wait, that suggests he did not. And that suggests that Dan broke the tie by saying
No. I'll repeat myself. That's above my pay grade. I took the invite. I was hanging out in the chicken,
all right, well,
in the kitchen making grilled cheese, and then I got the call.
Already we're in a bad place, the four of us.
All right, Wes, NFC hierarchy report. Where
it's
do we start?
So diametrically opposed to the AFC. So you're second tier in the AFC. Would you be surprised if the Jaguars or Chargers did not make the playoffs?
I mean, I would be surprised if the Jaguars did not, but almost anything could happen
with
those
Blake Bortles
teams.
At their court. That would not surprise me at
could
all
happen
if they
with
don't make
those
surprise.
Two teams. Right.
Not be surprised.
Right.
The only two teams that I would be surprised are the Steelers and the Patriots.
Yes.
I count seven teams in the NFC for six playoff spots, and all seven would surprise me if they don't make it.
That's it.
These are the contenders in the NFC. The Eagles, Rams, Saints.
What's the name of the tier? I'm sorry.
Contenders.
Contenders. Okay.
Eagles, Rams, Saints, Falcons, Vikings, Packers, and Panthers are right on the edge if I would be surprised or not, but they have a strong roster. It would surprise me a little bit. They were a playoff team last year.
Yeah, I mean, you make a lot of sense there, Wes. These are all teams that are
Super Bowl contenders.
All loaded teams coming off really good seasons. Like you said, the Panthers may be the team that not quite at the level of these other teams, but yeah, you're right. That's a lot different than the AFC.
I think all seven of these teams, if the season does not end in a Lombardi trophy, it's a disappointment.
I'd agree with you. It's an argument to reseed the playoffs because some of these guys are not going to make it. Well, you're going to get two half-baked operations in the AFC playing in January.
I don't know. I know you've brought that up before. It's just cyclical. I don't know.
It is what it is. But the only thing I'd say is, Dallas, to me, feels like they have high expectations. They're very imperfect, though, so they don't need to be in that category.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I guess we're going to hit that, but is there any teams that are just missing the cut there, or is this very kind of, to you, black and white, that these are the seven?
I broke this down into two tiers because I thought it would work better to contrast with the AFC, but if you want to go deeper, I sort of have bounce-back candidates as one tier, which is the rest of the NFC East outside of the Eagles.
Yeah.
Disappointing year with the Giants and Redskins. So many injuries for those guys. And the Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott suspension and the defensive line injuries and suspensions. They just didn't have it last year. So those guys are all bounce-back candidates. And then you could also make a tier, sort of a making the leap tier, the 49ers and Bears.
Sure.
Two teams that – the 49ers, the way they closed out the season, and the Bears, what they did this offseason, could be really emerging teams. But here's my pretenders list. And that last, the column on the right, Seahawks, Cardinals, Lions, and Buccaneers, is sort of like Mark's who are you tier.
Right.
Who are you? Who are these guys? I don't know who the Seahawks are anymore.
But if you're in this pretenders tier, and again, Niners, Bears, Cowboys, Redskins, Giants, Seahawks, Cardinals, Lions, and Bucks, when you call them pretenders, you're saying you would be stunned if any of these teams was playing in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it would not surprise me if any of those teams – I don't think there's a Bills-level team on here where it would shock me if they made the playoffs.
Right.
I think any of these teams can make the playoffs. I just don't think they're strong enough to go all the way.
And the Cowboys, to me, are the wild card of the conference.
I can see that.
That was – last year was just such a difficult season. The Zeke Elliott drama, I think, really messed with them. Watching All or Nothing really put Jason Garrett on my radar. Mm-hmm. And there were some people, by the way, after Tuesday's show, were pounding the table that Garrett should be seen as the Dalton scale.
That's a good call.
That fits. We came up with that answer's on the fly.
Yeah, that does fit.
This will be Garrett's last stand. I feel very confident. I don't even know what his contract situation is, but they need results. He needs to win 10-plus games and maybe even win a playoff game. Because Jarrah is not getting any younger.
I think the 49ers are a wild card. because if you get it, there's got to be some the opposite of a bounce back where you come down a little bit off those last five games. There's no doubt they're not going to win every game that way. But if they look like they did at the end of last year, you talk about the Patriots having Belichick and Brady. I really think that Shanahan and Garoppolo have the early seed of that. And there's a lot to be said for how those two work together and what it could mean for that entire offense. They quickly added a lot of parts on defense too. They don't have major positional groups of weakness or need.
Dan, promise me you will make Garrett's last stand an ongoing bit for the entire season.
I like that. Let me get down in the lab and get to work on that. I guess that's my big takeaway from the way you're setting up that conference, Wes, the NFC. There's no doormat. Well, there probably will be when the season starts, once the season gets into full bloom. But looking at it right now, every team kind of has a case to have a nice season.
Who would you even throw out there as the potential doormat? I can't see one team that is
weak. I'm worried about the Bucs, especially with
their defense got a lot better, I think.
They are so talented outside of the Winston and Fitzpatrick questions. You know, that they really reloaded that front seven, as Mark said. And their offensive metrics, and a lot of the key metrics, they were better than teams like the Rams and the Eagles. I mean, they have so much talent on this team, but you're right. It was a disappointing season. They can't seem to put it all together, and I'm not going to believe in them until, you know, obviously their quarterback situation gets straightened.
The head coach situation is on my radar a little bit too.
I was going to say, their coaching, their weakness may be the coaching staff until they show us otherwise.
And with their schedule, they could be staring at 0-3. And then who knows how that team reacts to adversity. It certainly didn't react well last year.
Well, that's sort of like what happened to the Giants last year. Once you get behind that eight ball, it's awfully hard to climb out.
Right, and they also had a head coach that was in over his head in Ben McAdoo, who's no longer there. So that's very interesting. I enjoyed both hierarchies. You want me to hand out grades?
Please.
Okay.
Or, I don't know.
Fill the role of Elliot Harrison here.
hierarchy grades.
Remember, you're going to be hanging out socially with us later today. Do you want us to part of the bill paying or not?
I'm just going to grade you guys on pass-fail. Both pass.
Oh, great.
That is how you do it. That's how you dodge trouble.
Well, now I'm disappointed.
I want to know what you really think, but...
Satisfactory. Remember,
I
that would be
getting the pass.
Got a couple of those.
I want the A.
Extremely satisfactory work by both the... not the scientists, sorry. The kissing cousins.
Our 8 minutes and of we'll talk prep works deserves respect.
And we'll talk to Greg, maybe. I won't talk.
I'm annoyed to find out that I'm learning now that he voted me out of the...
Yeah, Wes, you kind of let that one slip.
That's completely fabricated.
Loose
for
lips.
Podcasts.
Sink. Basements.
Greg and I have never talked about Mark being in the lab. Greg and I have never talked about the lab outside of this
room.
There you
go. Spin, baby. Wes, damage control.
I'm going to put a little chair under the doorknob, and you guys will be stuck down there. I have the whole rest of the house.
We don't have
a little house
party. It's a retina scan situation.
All right. So we will be back on Monday with another show. And I just want to say, before we go, again, shout out to Alex Gelhar and his new career back in Wisconsin. Also, the podcast award. Lindsay, I don't have that info in front of me. Where can people go to vote for the Around the NFL podcast? Hashtag...
Let's get crooked!
Let's get crooked!
Is that really the official hashtag?
Yeah. Yes, that is it.
Voting. The
Maybe
voting
unofficial.
Limb of this. Yeah.
Oh, the official voting can be done at podcastawards.com.
Okay, and you go, there's a little more prompting, I believe.
You'll have to register for an account.
Oh, that's killing us.
No, you should have left that out because nobody's going to register.
No, you just got to nominate Around the NFL and make sure that you nominate them in the sports category.
There you go.
Get in there and do it. Register and be happy that you did, and then unsubscribe.
And yeah, I'll give everyone, trust the process here. No, that's not the hashtag. The hashtag is
Let's Get Crooked.
Let's Get Crooked. Use your Hotmail address, the one that you don't really use. Use that one so you're not getting spam. And throw us a vote, because if we win, I assume something amazing will happen, both for us in the studio, probably monetary gain, and you as the listener, because if we have more money, we will be happier and probably then more efficient as podcasters.
Happiness is contagious.
By the way, if you go to their site, they have had up the entire year last year's winners, so...
I don't see us on there.
Well, we didn't win last year, but like one of the benefits is that anyone, if you log in and you register, every time you visit Podcast Awards over the next year, you could cycle down and see our name on that front page. That alone would be a huge benefit, I think, to the voter.
Absolutely.
What a boon.
And again, another prompt, go to Apple Podcasts and leave 5-star ratings and the comments. We'll probably get back to reading some comments down the line. So please support the show as you always do. You guys are amazing. Greg, we'll be back next week. It's our last week of two shows, and then we ramp up for training camp. So until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for The Quiet Storm, The Mailman, The Wisconsin Whiz Kid. Is that what?
Alex? Esquire.
Esquire, of course. And Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Till Monday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.